I was reading in Psalms the other day and came across a verse that reminded me of this verse, so I went back to it. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So when are we in his presence?
Always.
We're always in his presence. So the fullness of joy is us realizing that we're in his presence. It's realizing that, you know, we're not just here by ourselves. We're not here alone. We're not just, you know, groping through life, trying to get through it on our own. He's with us. And so this morning, when we worship, we can have another opportunity to remind ourselves that he's with us, and we can worship him and give him our hearts and give him our dedication and our love this morning. Then it says, "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So let's see if we can engage, if we can enter into that joy and those pleasures of God this morning, whether it be just comforting our hearts if we've had a bad week, or maybe just reassuring us, letting him reassure us that everything's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. And why don't you stand with me? Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that in your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, we just enter in, Lord, in our hearts right now to the reality, Lord, that you're here. You're here. You're always with us, Lord. You never leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, we ask that your joy, Lord, your joy that surpasses, Lord, our normal happiness, God, Lord, that joy would come, Lord, and reside, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives today and manifest, Lord, even through our emotions if necessary, God, that the fullness of your joy, God, the fullness of the joy of God that is our strength, God, would be released here right now, Lord. That the joy of God, Lord, the fullness of the joy of God, Lord, would set us free from thoughts, Lord, of anguish and pain and distraught, Lord. And we would come into a place, Lord, of peace and rest. We choose that this morning, Lord. Let those pleasures, God, that are at your right hand, God, be released also in this place. We ask that they be released to our loved ones, Lord, that aren't here today, Lord. Our loved ones, Lord, that don't know you yet, Lord. Release, God, your pleasures and your joy, God. We just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the communion table, God. And we thank you, Lord, for you being broken and spilled out for us, Lord. And your blood being the life of God and the light of God. And Lord, when we take it, we'll receive that today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, to worship you, Lord, in our tithes and our offerings, Lord. And we just ask, God, today that you would bless every action and every deed, every thought and every heart, Lord, in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, last week I was in Ellensburg with Tim, and I attended a Calvary Baptist church there. And I have a nephew who was raised Catholic, and when he discovered evangelical, holy rolling churches like ours, he told me, he said, "In your church I feel joy, in my church I feel dead, because there's no joy, there's no worship." So last week I went to a Baptist church, and y'all know, most of you who know me, I was raised in a hellfire and brimstone church. You know, they hang you over hell on a hair. And so they didn't believe in the acts of the apostles. They didn't believe in lifting your hands to worship. You know, we might be possessed if that happened. So I was in this church last week, and it was dead. The lesson was great. The worship was good. They used some of our music, but it was dead. There was a few people who raised their hands, and I'm like, "Lord, I'm looking like an idiot here." But I couldn't help myself. I had to dance. I had to do what I do here because that's how the Lord moves me. Well, a gentleman came to me at greeting time, and he said, "Was that you I saw dancing?" And I'm like, "Well, that's how we do it where I come from." He just looked at me. And after church, two of the deacons, senior deacons, come to me and said, "Wow, we were enthralled with watching you get wrapped up in the music." And I felt like telling them, "You should have been worshiping yourself." But I didn't. But the verse that came to mind was, and it goes with Pastor Mike's message, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Yes. You know, and I know people think I'm crazy when they see me. I don't care anymore. I'm 49. I don't care anymore. I grew up in a dead church. Unfortunately, they did good for me, but knowing about worship and knowing about dancing before the Lord. And if you can't get your body to do it, let your heart do it. Let your mind do it. Just let it go. Just let go of the week. I mean, we all have crappy weeks and we all have good weeks. Let it go. Let God have it. Let him replace it with his joy in his worship for him. Because I want him to know, I want to know that he's over there cranking up the stereo for One Life Family Worship. I want to know, like when I'm in my car and I'm cranking up a worship song that I love, I want to know that God's doing that for our worship, for us. That he's saying, this sounds so awesome and it smells so good in my throne room. This is what we are here for, is to worship first. And then when we worship him, we can receive the lessons that he has for us because our hearts and our minds are open. So if your mind, if your body can't do it, fine. I'm not going to tell you have to, but let your heart do it. Let your mind do it. And remember, and David danced, and he was a king.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the work of Jesus, for the sacrifice of Jesus, Lord, that redeemed us back, that purchased us, God, that restored us to a place of being the children of God once again, the sons and daughters. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so honoring, Lord, of the sacrifice, Father, that you gave, Lord, and Jesus, the sacrifice that you gave of laying down your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate that, Lord. We're grateful for that, Lord. Let us never, Lord, be just taking that for granted, God. Let us always hold and cherish your sacrifice and the power of what that has done for us, Lord, in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 I remember when I got that first revelation, Romans 8:15. No longer a slave to fear. No longer a slave to fear. And how his perfect love just became such a reality in my heart. And I wish I could say that happened, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but it was like really only about 6 years ago that God started really working that reality in my heart, being a child of God. That it wasn't about, you know, me being a pastor or me being a Christian. It was just about me being His son, and he took pleasure in me just being a son. And what a liberating time that was, that you don't have to be afraid of our Father. What a concept, that you don't have to be afraid of the Father, that you can receive his love. Amen. Speaking of receive his love, there's Katie, come on up. You're going to be dishing out his love here real soon, aren't you? Gabe, would you come on up? Katie is going to be a missionary. Amen. So she's going to Haiti for 10 days, right? And she has like a packed schedule. I mean, it's like from morning till late evening. And I think you get one day of just break and having fun, right? Are you excited? Yeah. I'm going to get the mic. I want to hear you, not me. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm getting kind of nervous. So we leave on this Saturday, and then we're going to be doing a week of vacation Bible school. And during that time, some of us are going to be helping with the dental clinic, pulling teeth, and just stuff like that. And then after VBS and stuff, we'll do some home visits to the people there. And then we'll be going to church. I think there's 2 or 3 days that we're going to church, the one they have services and stuff. And we have like a lot of like things that we've raised with the school, a lot of materials and stuff that we're going to be giving the church and stuff like that. And I think that's all. Yeah, that's mostly what we're going to be doing. A week of vacation Bible school, dental clinics, home visits, in church. Yeah, and then the last day we get to like stay at a resort, but that's just the last day.
That's the last day.
Yeah.
At least you get some kind of break. Yeah.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord.
It's like the TV Survivor. You get the last day. Big meal.
Yeah.
And I think Gina's brought some sheets that actually, if anyone wants them, is it, how many sheets did you bring?
I only brought one.
There you go. Okay.
The teacher emailed me a schedule of everything they're doing every day, and then it's a prayer for each of the days and exactly what they're going to be doing. And so this is a really good sheet. I actually have it on my phone, so I can text it to you guys if you guys like pray in the morning and want to just like go through it and stuff. And but I was reading it at work and I was crying because just it felt like I was there when I was reading it, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's work, you know, this missionary work. Sad to say, I probably would never do it over there, you know, but it's not for everybody. It's a servant's heart for, you know, stuff like that. And so just pray for, you know, it has a prayer for every single day. And so I'll go ahead and if you guys want a copy, I can make you guys a copy or I can just text it to you guys. But it's something that just pray for our family, too, because, I mean, she's going to be leaving and it's going to be really hard to let her go, but, you know, I've just been praying for God to give us the strength and stuff, and, I mean, I don't want to think about it because I'll cry, so. But I have it here. If anybody wants it, I'll text it to you guys.
So why don't you stay up here? Moses, come on up.
You want to get up behind her?
So the nice thing about it is you're going, you know, with your school and stuff, but really you're going in the power of the Lord. You're going in His anointing. You're going in His strength and His vitality. So I want you to not rely on, you know, all the stuff. Rely on Him and Holy Spirit, because you could have all these things planned out and He could give you like something really big to do for Him. And it may be just giving somebody a hug and loving on them and having maybe a word that the Lord gives you for them, because, you know, you walk in Him. You don't walk in just Katie. So I want you to go in the power of the Lord. Amen. And go in with our love and with our blessing. And we believe that you're going to have amazing testimonies to bring back. And a lot of pictures, and we'll make a slideshow, right? Amen. So would you stretch forth your hand to Katie? Father, we just thank you, God, for a servant's heart, Lord. Lord, someone that's willing, Lord, to go. Lord, someone that's willing to hear the cry, who will go? And she's hearing it, Lord, and she's responding. And Father, we thank you for being her resource, God, being the one, Lord, that she will rely on and trust in. Lord, as you've brought in the funds, Lord, we know, God, that you will bring in every gifting, every word she needs, every power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, when she needs it, God. And we pray that she would be an example of your love. We pray, God, for safety. Lord, we pray for your covering angels, God, to watch over her, Lord, to protect her in all her ways, Lord. And we ask, God, that she would grow in the power of your might while she's gone, Lord, that she would come back, Lord, with a transforming experience, God. And Lord, that we, Lord, the ones sending her out, and Lord, in love, Lord, the family sending her out, God, would also participate with her, Lord, by receiving the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. All right, well, will the children please come up? Got a few this morning. A few that are hanging back. So would you guys stretch forth your hand? Let's bless the children. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these hearts, God. Thank you, Lord, that they're, Lord, seeking after you, Lord. And we pray that today as they go down, they would receive the word of the Lord. They receive what you have for them, that their hearts would be able to hear it and respond to it, Lord. And we bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you said, amen.
Amen. Good job.
Praise the Lord. Oh, and yes, well, we'll do it once we get up there. Oh, we lost, well, somebody. Okay, we're going to do the video for Emerald Care today at 3 p.m. For those of you who didn't get to see it last week, it's pretty awesome. Thank you, Jesse. So that will be today at 3 p.m. as it says. And I encourage everyone to come. It's awesome. It's James and Steph went down, but it is a place where James and Stephanie work, and they are given the opportunity to go beyond just their work and actually have a church service once a month. And it started off small, but as you saw, it has really grown. And there's other families that go. The Kennedys have been going, I think, all the whole time. Vargas's, and they make a family activity out of it as well. They go and sometimes do some things afterwards. But I had the opportunity to go last time, and I was really blessed. And why do we go to a place like that? Why do we go and love on those who you know can't get out? Because it's loving on Jesus. It's just as if you were going and seeing Jesus and loving on him. Because when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to him. And so when you have an opportunity to do that, something happens in your heart. Something kind of gives you a compassion that maybe even wasn't there as much before. And so I encourage you to join us. Say us, we're hoping to really make it. Gay and I are both trying to make it again today. So, Jesse, can you just start it for me, please? Thank you. He's wearing multiple hats today. There is no Bible teaching. What we've been doing is going through the different aspects of studying the Bible. I went through the real quick outline of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And next week, the Lord willing, I'm going to break down the Pentateuch or the Torah, the five books of Moses, books of Moses, sometimes it's called. And then we'll kind of go and look at all the different categories, all the different historical timeline in that. And so that will be next time. There's quite a few scriptures for today. So we've been talking about the heart. The heart is sometimes thought of as, you know, our blood pump. And that is part, of course, who what makes up the center of who we are. But the heart's an invisible part of us. It's called the hidden man of the heart. There's a part of us that is not seen, but most of us engage with everybody else from this unseen part of us, this heart. And how we handle our heart, how we let things come in our heart, go out of our heart, guard our heart, you know, handle the things that God wants to do in us with our heart, we can change, or we can stay the same, or we can even go worse. How many have had that experience before when you don't guard your heart? So we've gone over different things, not in any particular order, just kind of as the Lord was leading me, and I thought I was going to end with one today, and it's not time to end the heart, which I did not know this was going to be a series. I've never done a series this long, so welcome to the longest series in the history that I've ever seen. Preparing your heart, guarding your heart, the integrity of your heart, releasing your heart, the treasure of your heart, all these are online, and you can go listen to them. A happy heart, a pure heart, the desires of your heart, circumcision of the heart, and last week we did imagination of the heart. So is there anything left, Pastor Mike, of the heart? Yes, stillness of the heart.
Before we go any farther, I have a joke.
She has a joke.
I have a joke. So just to kind of loosen things up a little bit. An elderly woman had just returned to her home from an evening of religious service, when she was startled by an intruder. As she caught the man in the act of robbing her home of its valuables, she yelled, "Stop! Acts 2:38, which is turn from your sin." The burglar stopped dead in his tracks. Then the woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand so still all this time and not do anything? All the old lady did was yell a scripture at you." "Scripture," he said. "She had an axe and 2:38s.
Be still. Yep. You know, and they're not always like landmark
I thought it was
jokes.
Funny.
Yeah. Stillness of the heart. So the word stillness from Webster means freedom from noise or motion. Now, this is difficult to achieve in our day and age. Calmness, quiet, silence, as the stillness of the night, the air, or the sea. Freedom from agitation, wouldn't that be nice? Or excitement, as the stillness of the passions, habitual silence, and taciturnity, which means quit talking. I had to look that one up. Is that right, taciturnity? That's a difficult one. All right, moving on. Psalm 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Now, sometimes we think, well, if I'm meditating, if I'm thinking, then I'm not really being still, right? How many, you know, your mind can just like, just travel and travel and travel, and you're definitely not being still. You know, if you're meditating on what you're going to do tomorrow, or you're meditating on what that person said to you, or you're meditating on, you know, a problem, I don't think you're going to be still. So who do you think, and what do you think we're going to be meditating on here? This is David writing this. I'm sure going to be meditating on the Lord. We're going to be musing on the Lord. We're going to be thinking about the things of the Lord on our bed and be still. What a great place to just, you know, have a quiet time. Now, you may just fall asleep. I like to start meditating on the Lord or on the Word when I wake up first thing in the morning. Sometimes I'll realize, oh, I've been here 45 minutes, you know, and I got to get to reading my Word. Wait a minute. No, don't go and get all crazy. You've been spending 45 minutes enjoying the Lord, thinking of His Word, thinking of His goodness. That's sometimes better than jumping out of bed.
Sometimes that's really hard, though, if your personality is not built that way, where you can actually, I mean, I have the hardest time getting my thoughts to just be thoughts about God. One will zip through, and then I'll go with that down that rabbit trail. And so what do you do if you're a person like me?
Well, if you're a person like Gay, or even like me, because I can do the same thing, I will think of a scripture. I'll start on, for instance, I've been really meditating and thinking on Matthew 11:28-30. And that's where Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'll start meditating on that. So the way that I'll do it is, come. What does that mean, Lord? Come. Well, let's see, I'm laying in bed, so I can't, like, you know, and you're not just, like, down the hall, so how do I come to you? So I start meditating on what it means to come to the Lord, in spirit, obviously. And so I say, Lord, I approach you, approach your throne. It says that I can come boldly before your throne. I'm just doing this in my heart. You know, you've got to know the Bible. Because if you don't know the Bible, then you're going to be kind of limited just based on what you think. But if you can memorize a scripture or two, especially if one the Lord's put your heart on, you know, as you're reading through the Bible, maybe you have a favorite verse. Start with your favorite verse. But that's a way to get your thoughts off of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you first wake up, most people, what do they first start want to think about? Well, I got to go do this, I got to go do that, and not really center their day around the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do.
When our oldest son watched something he wasn't supposed to watch, it was some kind of gory thing about a murder, he had a hard time going to sleep after that. Not just one night or two nights, it was like for months. And finally, I had him memorize Psalm 4:8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone are my safety, O God. And more times than not, we would walk in to check him before we would go to bed,
and his Bible would be open across his chest, and he'd be sound asleep. He had read the scripture, said the scripture, and placed the scripture on top of him, and he felt safe. That's probably what you're talking about, right?
That's one way he guarded his heart. Yeah, he protected his heart from being fearful and, you know, worrying about something happening to him. And be still, chill out, relax, you know, and rest. Don't just rest in a way of sleeping, but rest in the Lord. Find a place to reside in his arms. Find a place to reside in his care and comfort. But this doesn't come easy. Our natural tendency is to think busy thoughts. Our natural tendency is to go down the path of, oh, what about this or what about that? Or, you know, not watching what we think, not watching those imaginations that start to go in our head. This does kind of dovetail a little bit last week. Psalm 46:10, be still. There you go. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. That word be still literally means to almost be like weak and, you know, don't try to be all strong and figure this. Be still and let him be God. Stillness in your heart, quietness in your heart. How do you do that?
Well, some of the scriptures that are like different versions actually say hush or be quiet. One even says shut up, which that's a bad word. But some of them actually say when a child is really being a ruckus, you know, in a quiet place, and you say hush, you know, with authority, what do? They immediately just stand to attention. Well, that's what God is saying, because this is the psalmist saying be still. He's telling us, be still. He's reminding himself, be still. Hush, David, quit thinking thoughts and talking talk and just wait in my presence.
And he's working as a prophet because he's actually saying, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. He's letting the Lord speak to him. Mm-hmm. And he's writing it down as he's getting it. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, when you let God be God, he gets exalted. Anybody realize that? When you let him be God in your life, he gets the glory. We don't get the glory. So here's Jesus, and he is talking to his disciples. This is kind of the last few hours of his life, and he's communicating to his disciples a lot of different truths, and he's letting them know at the very beginning, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's trying to tell them, you know, guys, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. It's going to be okay, no matter what the next few days look like. Don't be troubled. Another place he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Easier said than done, right? To not let our heart be troubled. It seems it wants to run the course of letting it be troubled. But let's go back to Psalm 4:4. What can we do? We can meditate on our bed. Don't have to do it just on your bed, you know. Maybe if you meditate on your bed, you'll keep your wife awake. I don't know. It's like you need to go someplace else to meditate. But it's being still will keep our hearts from being troubled. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 38:8, David's saying this, same person who's been writing all this other stuff. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. So David's gotten into a place, what, where he has not meditated or he has not focused enough. He's let himself get troubled. And now he's groaning because of this turmoil that's going on in his heart. Do you think he's let his heart be still? Or do you think he's let it run rampant? Anybody else? I think he's let it run rampant. I'll answer my own question. Isaiah 40:31. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord. Now, some people say, well, what's this have to do with being quiet? Well, waiting on the Lord, you can't really wait on the Lord and you go and off and do your own thing and think your own things. To wait on the Lord is a purposing to focus your attention on him, to focus your heart's intent, your heart's desires on him. And as you do that, he will renew our strength. Mm-hmm. He will allow us to mount up with wings like eagles. He will make it so that we can run and not be weary. He will make it so we can walk and not faint. See, it's not our waiting that makes all those things happening. It's like, oh, I've waited 2 hours. Okay, so now I'm mounting up with wings like eagles. Now I'm ready to run and not be weary. Now I'm ready to walk and not faint. No, waiting is getting to the place where he then will mount you up with wings like eagles. He will give you the power to run and not be weary. He will be the one that will allow you to walk and not faint. Amen? You have any input? No input? Oh, my goodness. I'm getting to really like her input, that feminine idea. Okay, Psalm 27:14. This kind of goes along with it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't think we need to have it any more explained. He will strengthen your heart when you what? When you wait. But waiting is a process. Waiting is not in your time. Wouldn't you like it was in your time, Josh? It would be so nice if it was our timetable based on our busy world between checking Facebook and Twitter. Now I'm going to wait, and now I'm going to be strengthened. Wouldn't that be so nice? Anybody else? Come on. Microwave waiting, wouldn't that be great? But no, waiting is a process. Waiting may take more than one day. Waiting may take more than 1 week. Oh, now I'm making some of you go, I can't do that. I can't wait more than 1 week. Waiting on God is realizing that he has the answers. Waiting on God is realizing that he's the one that's going to strengthen you. Waiting on God is faith. Realizing that you can't do it on your own. And as you wait, you know what? He gives you grace to wait some more. It's there. I tell you, it really is. You can wait and then get like stuck in the and get all nervous and wonder if it's happening. Or you can sit here, I'm going to rest in you because I know you've got the answer. And then he'll give you a grace to continue to wait. And that wait may go much longer than you could have handled yourself. Because of the grace that came. Isaiah 32:17. Now listen to this. This is craziness. I really believe this is craziness. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The work of righteousness is peace. Now would you call peace a place of stillness? What did Jesus say to the wind and the waves? Peace be still. So the work of righteousness will be peace. So if we're not feeling peace, we need to let the work of righteousness work in us a little bit more. And then the effect of righteousness is what? Quietness and assurance forever. A place of total confidence and settling that it's all going to work out. I'm trying to think of what's that one song? Now I'm forgetting. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes. Is it Oceans? Yeah. But what's. I'm trying to get to the line. There's a line. Never mind. You don't remember it. Okay. Somebody probably else that probably remembers. Okay. Isaiah 32:17. to Isaiah 30:15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. Isn't that something? That he's saying here, that in returning and rest you shall be saved. That salvation to Israel had a place of resting in him. You know, I think we miss out on the gift of true salvation because we fret and we worry too much instead of resting in a completed work. How many know when Jesus said, "It is finished" on the cross, that he was not just talking about, "I finished and clocked out of being on the cross"? That's not what he meant. He meant the work that the Father had preordained since before the beginning of the foundations of the earth, of me being slain, is finished. And the effect of that, the results, is finished. And so what does this mean? It means that we can rest in a completed work. Mm-hmm. We don't have to rest in a half-done, half-baked, our own doings. Because how many know our own doings are half-done, half-baked most of the time? Mm-hmm. Guilty as charged.
I got one.
Okay, she's got some.
So the Lord actually spoke to me this morning about the children of Israel, mm-hmm, and how right when they got to the Red Sea, which I found it amazing that we sang that last song where it says, you know, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. God's so good. But this scripture in Exodus 14:13 and 14, it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace.'" So here, that's exactly what you were saying. And the children of Israel could actually live in the result of peace instead of living in fear and trembling because, oh no, they're after us. You know what I mean? Because if they're going to listen to God, what I find amazing is stand still isn't exactly physical. He's actually talking, I think, to the spirit of the man.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's asking these people to trust him enough to walk through a sea with walls higher than you can look, full of water with dry land. And he's asking them to trust him enough to do that. So there's action going on while this, he's asking us, the children of Israel, be still here, be calm. And then the result for you will be peace. You shall hold your peace and you will be okay. Everything will be okay, I promise. And they were.
Amen. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Was that not the truth? Mm-hmm. In quietness and in confidence in what God was going to do, that was their strength. So much that Egypt lost a lot of chariots and lost a lot of soldiers. But you would not. I always hate that part, but you would not. Isaiah's encouraging through the Lord Israel to make a change, but they refuse to do it. Let's not be like Israel. Let's not be like the children who had seen so much but refused to trust. Matthew 11:28-30. Hey, I just heard about that. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who gives us rest? Do we give it to ourselves? Where does rest come from? Rest comes from God. So to enter into his rest, that's why it says in Hebrews that we're to work, labor at entering into his rest. We have to work on allowing ourselves to submit to God's grace to enter into his rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't it interesting here that Jesus is talking about us coming to him is not just about receiving salvation for our sins, even though that is part of what we receive. He's talking about giving us a rest, Why? So we can enjoy the salvation of our souls. How many people do you know that are saved that have never entered into that salvation? They're still worried about so many things and bothered about so many things that they never rest in the fact that they're his. That they've been blood bought. And that they're his possession. And that their problems are, guess what? His problems. And that their issues are his issues. They're not in it alone. Here's a great one. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace be still. You know what? Some of you may need to start speaking to your heart. Peace be still. Be still, heart. Be still, mind. Heart and mind, very hard to distinguish between the two. Be still and know that he is God. Be still. Is that too much for you to speak to your heart? It's like, where is it? Be still. I mean, I don't know if the heart is the actual blood pump area, but somewhere, I think, in the center of man, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Somewhere in here, be still. Be still. You know, if you're concerned about doing that around people at work, I think I would be too. Be still. It's like, your stomach growling or what's going on? But go ahead, you go.
I have found over this season of my life that I've had to talk to my spirit. I have to remind my spirit of the goodness of God. I have to constantly be saying over and over, almost like an inventory list of what God's done and how good God is. And because it's been very hard for me to take every thought captive. And so, but that's what God wants us to do, is to remind ourselves, remind our spirit all that he's done. Remind our spirits, because when it's in a hard time, then you're going to have that somewhat inventory to be able to say, you know, God's been so faithful, God's been so good, and not just because he's done good things for you, but because of who he is in your life.
Exactly. Exactly. Because of who he is. Mm-hmm. Because of who he is, that's why he's done good things for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We're called to let the peace of God rule our hearts. And how about this one? Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Those are all different principles of prayer. Number one, when you're going to God, try to remove the anxiousness. Because most of the time when you're praying in anxiousness, you're not really connecting with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But in prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, thanking him, maybe not for even just the answers to the prayer, thank him for what he's done in your life. Thank him for his goodness and his love. And the peace of God, when you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, talk about guarding your heart. Right there's an answer. How to really guard your heart. Mm-hmm. Be anxious, not. Don't be anxious. What's anxiousness? Is worrying. Don't worry.
Be happy.
Be happy, exactly. Don't worry to the place. Because what ends up happening? Worry becomes our focus. Worry becomes where we're setting our focus and our attention on. So in a way, we put our faith in what we're worrying about. Because you start worrying about something enough, and that's what you're focusing on, you're almost energizing that in your faith. Causing you to respond in your verbiage, respond in the way you live, based upon your worries. Instead of God's ideas, Holy Spirit's ideas for your life? What do you think Holy Spirit's ideas for your life in this situation are? You're going to need to get in prayer to find out. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to hear his voice about the situation. And then you don't have to be anxious. And then guess what? He guards your heart with a peace that passes all understanding. And that right there, I'm telling you folks, it's money. It really is. To have your heart given a peace that passes all understanding. It's better than money. It is the farm being bought for you. It is good to have the peace of God guarding your heart. Because how many know that in this life right now, especially with what's going on in the world, all the chaos, all the craziness, terrorism, the election, everything, it's really easy to start worrying about things. It's really easy to start going like, what happens if this comes to our school? Or what happens if this happens? Or what am I going to do if this happens? And you're more concerned about what you're going to do than who's going to supply your needs. The God of your source. Mm-hmm. The God of your resource. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do now when we pray for our meal, I just thank God every time for him being the source. It's not the jobs that we have, because he's given us the strength for us to be able to work those jobs. It's not that, you know, the food was delivered to wherever we went and purchased it from, because he allowed us to be in a nation where they could grow crops, where they can grow food or trade for food. I mean, he's our source, folks. And what a good time to remember that than when we're getting ready to eat a meal. Something that we're about to consume that will be gone in just a few minutes or a few seconds in some people's cases, right?
Zeke.
I didn't say it. He laughed, though. You didn't have to?
In Psalm 23:2, it talks about he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And that's, you know, he's the shepherd. That means we're the sheep, right? And sheep instinctively know that water is not their friend, because if they get in rushing, fast, racing water, their wool is going to soak up all that water and they're going to drown. And that's why the shepherd leads them beside still waters, so there will be no fear. And that's what he wants to do for us, is he wants to lead us and guide us beside still waters and restore our soul.
Still waters, not still troubled waters.
Right.
Not
right.
A bridge over troubled waters, but still waters.
Right.
And those pastures are his resources, his ability to give us whatever we mm-hmm. need. Mm-hmm. God is our source.
Yeah.
And dependent upon where your heart is, you can rest in that no matter what the situation is, folks. Family, no matter how bad mm-hmm. it gets, We can rest in God that he's going to take care of us. Amen?
Amen. In February, I was contacted by one of my cousins that one of our cousins was very, very sick and in the hospital. And what happened was he woke up in excruciating pain in one of his thighs, and his temperature was 104. So they rushed him to the hospital. And they're in Cape Town, Africa. Is that the right? I think that's the right one. Anyway, Cape Town, Africa. And he and she have given their lives to the Lord. Like, they were the directors of YWAM. Has anybody heard of YWAM before? Youth with a Mission? They were actually the directors for many, many years out of Amsterdam. And now the result of all of this is he's had multiple heart attacks, multiple strokes. And he is in like almost like a vegetative state. Even though he's responding a little bit, they're having a hard time getting him to wake up. You know what I mean? So as I'm reading these posts from his wife, as she's writing them out, I'm seeing her say continually, "I have to tell myself, be still, Sally. Don't worry. God has this, whether or not he brings Floyd out of it or not. don't, and she has to continually speak because the news is always bad, then good, bad, then good. I mean, you know, the roller coaster ride. And how many of us don't have that kind of tragedy in our life, but we still find ourselves getting anxious, getting almost irritated that God would let something like that happen. And on her post yesterday, she said, people have asked her, are you mad at God? Are you angry with him? And she's like, no, why would I be angry at God? God is the one and the very reason that we're where we are to get the care that he needs. I could never be angry at God. Am I frustrated at the situation? Yes, but I'm not angry at God. And to me, that really spoke to my spirit because she has to say that out loud too. Sally, you are not mad at God. You're not mad at God. You don't have time to be mad at God. Floyd needs you and you don't have time to go through that. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, our God is a good God. He has your best interest at heart. Sometimes you need to remember that even when times are the very hardest that you've ever been through, God has my best interest at heart. I know he loves me. He saved me. He cares for me. He will help me through this too. T-O-O.
You close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today, God, because of your great reminders. Mm. Your great reminders of how you love us, how you care for us, how you instruct us, how you guide us. And God, in your instructions of being still, we just pray, God, today that our hearts would be able to attach to this word, that it would take it captive in our hearts, in our spirits,
yes,
Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord God, as we're getting ready to stand, to leave, to have a week, God, and we don't even know what's going to happen this week, but God, you do, and you care. Mm. So, Father, I just pray that we would be able to walk in a place of rest and quietness and stillness and be able to trust you, God, even when we don't know what's about to happen. God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for everyone that's here and those that couldn't be here. And God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide our steps. You're a good God. Just pick up one foot, place it where you want it to go, and then do the other. And help us to stand back and watch you do what you do so well, God. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray blessing on each one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I do want to welcome Bob and Vicki Giles from Longview, Washington. They're visiting today. They're pastors over there with Grace International. So welcome, guys. And so God bless you guys. Remember, 3 o'clock, we will be at Emerald Care for 3 baptisms. Or do you have more now? 3 baptisms. It'll be an awesome time of worship. But beyond all of that, it's an awesome time to love on people and love on the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Have a great week.